Sunday, 5th of July. Welcome to Digital Outbox. Hi, and welcome to episode 5. Joining me this week is Shakil again.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Not too bad. Bit warm again today.
Yep.
Been a hot week.
Certainly has.
So, straight on with some news. Pirate Bay this week has... it's been a bit odd just with the news that's come out about them this week. So, I'm guessing most people know about it anyway. But basically, they've sold Pirate Bay to another company called Global Gaming Factory X for, I think it was about $7 million or dollars. It's not a lot, really.
No.
I guess I can't make head nor tail of whether they're telling the truth or not. Well, if you think how they've almost, you know, I don't know, they've almost in the last few years just, you know, like stood up for, you know, we're doing nothing wrong, we don't host any illegal content. You know, if somebody wants to sue us, bring it on. And I know they lost that court trial, but they still seemed pretty cocky and arrogant that nothing can stop us, etc. Mm-hmm. And then this came out. And it was all we've sold to another company. The company's going to list in the stock exchange. Everybody can buy a share in it. And then there was stuff came out about that they're actually going to take the tracker down, but it's actually going to swap over to a different type of tracker. It just sounds crazy.
You know, how I see that is, I think it's all about the money. You know, initially they started off and they're like standing up for the community, file sharing, there's nothing illegal about it. But it's Napster all over again, isn't it? They're going to go legit, they're going to make loads of money out of it. And then if it goes down the pan, I don't think they'll really care. They'll have their money and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Napster again, but they're dead.
Definitely.
I mean, it's if people are wanting their music now, there are too many free ways to get it.
Yeah.
And we spoke, can't remember if it was last week, the week before, about the alternatives that are starting to spring up. I mean, you've got Spotify, you've got Virgin, talking about the all-you-can-eat downloading service. So there's definitely some legit options out there, and also free ones. You know, there's loads of tracker sites.
Yeah.
And a lot of private ones with far better content than Pirate Bay. And one thing that was really odd was when they said that we'll take down all illegal content. But they've always argued that they don't host any illegal content. So again, I can't work out if they're just playing the media.
Yeah.
Time will tell, but I think, you know, if they're trying to monetize it in some way, then the site traffic will drop. People will move elsewhere.
I mean, I don't know too much about the legalities of it, but I get the impression that the owners of Pirate Bay, they'll just get like a one-off fee and that's it, and they'll move on. And then this other company that's buying them out, they will then take over, and whether they make money or not, the Pirate Bay guys, you know, it's not, they don't really care about it. They've got their cash and that's it.
One of the things they've always said is that the actual site is such a, you know, content-wise is so small that it's dead easy to move it elsewhere. So who knows?
I mean, for all I think it's just the brand, isn't it? The brand name has been sold, but you know, they might find there's a better infrastructure somewhere
but
else.
All the finances behind it seems to be about traffic. Look at the amount of traffic they get, and it's all about putting adverts on it. But the traffic will go if they don't have the content. Time will tell, but it sounds like an Napster too.
Are you interested in it at all? Would you use it if they make it all legal? Not implying that you stick with illegal stuff, but you know.
Well, no, I think I've said before in the podcast, I do download torrents. You know, there's no getting away from it. But would I use it? I don't know. I don't know if I would trust them, given my, you know, like credit card details. No, I've got no knowledge of you know, who they are, what they are. I think I would rather, you know, if it was going to go legit and they're starting to charge for content, I'd rather go to iTunes. I'd rather look at something that Virgin's bringing out. I'd rather go for one of those services, I think, over something like paying Pirate Bay money.
Yeah.
What about yourself? I guess much the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really interested. iTunes is enough for me, and yeah, I admit to a bit of torrent sites as well, but you know, not really interested. They'd have to do something really special And like you said, Spotify, you know, that's exactly. I think that's a good idea. So
yeah. Okay, moving on. Another surprising bit of news this week was the one-size-fits-all mobile chargers in Europe.
Yay!
Indeed, absolutely, at last. So that there's basically, it's not every manufacturer, but it's 90% of the European market have signed up to using micro-USB as a standard. Mm-hmm. And from what I can understand, they won't actually now, in their packaging, they won't actually have a charger. So if you want a charger, you just go and buy one, and it's a micro-USB.
That's right, yep.
That's excellent. About time.
Yep.
It's just definitely been too long coming. It's been one of the things that always frustrates me. Either when I've changed my own phone or when somebody says, "Have you got a charger?" Mm-hmm. And even when I think back, Sony Ericsson used to change from model to model.
That's
just
right.
One little tiny bit in their connector just to force you to buy another one. Apple, much the same. So, what do you think about Apple? I mean, do you think they'll? I was quite surprised to see them saying they would adopt it.
I'm not too sure about Apple. Because obviously they've got all these accessories with their docking port, and I don't know how. Because at the moment we use that for charging as well as for accessories. So I don't know how. I can't imagine how they would make this work without adding some of their own tweaks to it. But
yeah,
I think it's just one of these wait and see games.
I don't even know if there'll be like another little dongle that plugs in, so you get a micro USB. But you still have the dock port or something.
Yeah.
There'll be some way of charging for it.
Mm.
It's Apple. Moving on. You had some Pampree news for us?
Just a couple of tidbits I've gotten online recently. A lot of people are complaining about the build quality of the Pampree, which I guess was always an own issue. But now you're getting like photos appearing online where people are actually they can pull apart the casing quite easily.
Ah, is this where the keyboard casing, just where the keyboard slides in, or is it?
It's almost like the back of the Pampree itself, and it's not like they're forcing it out. They just sort of like put their finger on the edge, and you can see it like coming apart.
And that's one thing that your mobile phone gets a lot of abuse.
I think people forget that most people stick mobile phones in their pocket, and then as you like stand up, sit down, you know, the phone is stressed quite a lot.
Absolutely.
You know, like, remember in the past we used to complain about Nokias, they creak, don't they?
Yeah.
After a few days you get it, it's nice and shiny and solid, but after a few days
you use the button and it was like creak.
Yeah, it's walking on floorboards. So, I mean, I think that's one good thing about the iPhone, it's almost like rock solid, isn't it? Nothing gives away at all.
Well, I think people complain about, you know, there's no battery compartments, but the... I guess the trade-off is solid. You just don't think about, you know, anything creaking or making noises or breaking unless you drop it.
Yeah, so I mean...
Which thankfully I've not done.
So we've got a link to the forum, I think, where people have been uploading their photographs of their broken Pampree's. You can have a look.
Yep, and we'll add that into the show notes.
Yep.
And it looks like next week they're going to announce who in the UK is selling the Pampree.
I mean, O2 is a strong contender again.
Well, there was an article in the Guardian last week that was basically saying they've got it. And it's just waiting for the announcement and the price, which I'm still quite surprised at. I would have thought either Apple would have wanted exclusivity with, you know, O2, or Palm would have wanted something different, you know, to be on a different network from Apple. But money talks.
You're gonna sing that song now. Money talks. Stevie V, that was a bit of trivia for you there.
What the hell? Yet again, showing your age. I just want to mention a new website I started up this week, which was gdgt.com or gadget.com.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been there yet.
I've got an email from them saying, because I registered ages ago, but right. I've not really been yet. Is it any good?
Yeah, I was quite impressed. I mean, I actually wondered what they would do differently from... You know, Gizmodo and Engadget.
It's one of the guys who founded Engadget, isn't it? He started
it was
Ryan Block.
Both. I won't get the story right. I think one of the guys founded Gizmodo moved to Engadget then brought on Ryan Block, and he was the editor at Engadget. And so they both built up almost like both those sites.
Mm.
But it's not just a blog. It's more a Wikipedia review site. And I was quite surprised just the content you had on day one, but also just the community they've built up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the forums are just, you know, full of great posts.
So if I understand correctly, it's users upload stories as well, don't they?
Yeah, so they can obviously post in forums. They can also add in content. So if you've got a gadget that's not on the site, so if you wanted to mention, I don't know, I noticed Sky HD wasn't on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to put your HD box up, you can put the details up and put in as much content as you know. And if somebody else has got more to add, they can do. So it is very much like a wiki.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, have you been to, is it current.tv? It's like a news site.
Yeah, I've been, like, when it first launched, but not
I mean,
not
it's
since.
Not too bad, but the idea sounds kind of similar. It's like users can upload stories, and then other people can then contribute with their comments. So it's all sort of a community-based thing. So good luck to them. I hope it. Wish them success.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, just because you can pick what gadgets you own or want,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, oh, what a list I'm going to end up with. But it'll be interesting when we... If we both populated our list just to see what we end up with.
Yeah.
One other thing which really just I just could not get at all was this Microsoft advert this week, which was all around IE8. And I'll just kick that off playing now. And have you seen it?
I have seen it. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll just play this again.
For a minute?
Sure.
So we'll put this link in the show notes. And it's seemingly now they've pulled this advert, which is no big surprise. To see somebody projectile vomit.
OMG IGP or oh my god,
it's just amazing.
Oh. If you share a computer with this guy, you might. Tell him to download Internet Explorer.
Disgusting.
And start using in private browsing so he doesn't leave anything in the history, and you will never be surprised by harry.com again.
I mean, we're laughing not because it's funny, it's just ridiculous.
Oh.
Internet Explorer 8. Browse better.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, have they changed their style since, you know, Steve Ballmer's actually been the guy in charge? You know, who actually thought this was a good idea? I mean, that's four projectile vomits, and they're talking about how, you know, and even worse, they've got that, I can't remember his name. What's
Dean Cain.
That's the one.
You told me that 10 minutes ago.
It's old Superman. Yeah, but I can't remember, I'm getting old. But, unbelievable. And there was another advert that they had to change. It was a website where you could find $10,000 on the internet. And if you went, depending on your browser, it would say things like, oh, Safari's old hat and Firefox is slow and non-standard compliant, but, oh, IE, you're fantastic. So it was I don't know, just the adverts that they're doing right now are just, they're just lies, crazy lies. the thing is, they don't need to do this.
No.
You know, it's like, it's just almost back to bad old days.
Yeah. Well, sticking with the browser thing, a bit of tech news this week as well. XHTML2 is now officially dead, and HTML5 right. will be the, you know, the successor.
Mm.
So, and the reason I mention that is because some of the current browsers already support some of the features of HTML5. Safari supports quite a few of the features, and Firefox as well.
The new 3.5 supports it.
And I think Opera supports probably the most, which is kind of unusual because I don't really use it.
Well, the thing that's odd about Opera is that it's like, I think it's probably the most advanced browser.
Mm.
And I'm going to say nobody uses it, but really nobody uses it.
And that's the thing, you know, like with this advert, they're saying IE is like the best browser, and that I don't think that supports it as well as any of the others. So
nope.
You're lying to us.
Which is no surprise.
No.
But I've tried, and I got Firefox 3.5 this week, and it is nice to be able to see video content without having plugins.
Mm.
And it'll be just over time, but interesting to see just the support over Flash.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, iPhone Mac news, which we always said, I think we said at the start, we would never fall into doing too much iPhone and Mac, but we can't help it.
We can't get away from it. I mean, this is what we use all the time, so.
Yeah.
So what's the news?
Well,
your mate's
Steve Jobs
back,
is back. Well, who's back?
Your mate.
My mate, Steve.
Yep.
Yeah, I won't go there. Somebody seems to think at work that, that Steve Jobs is my mate.
And he gets all this business advice from you as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. It'll be interesting when, I guess, the first photos come out and how healthy is he, and I guess everybody's still obsessing about about his health. I don't think it matters.
No.
You know, he's been away for 6 months and they're doing well.
Yep.
So, you had another app for the iPhone?
Yeah, there's yet again another Twitter app for the iPhone. It's called Birdfeed. I've not used it myself, but some of the reviews I've read, they said it's up there alongside Tweety and Twitterlater Pro and what's the other one? Twitterific. So $2.99.
It's not free, no.
No, it's $2.99. I think one of the standout features, which doesn't really attract me that much, is caching. So whenever you turn it on, it caches all your tweets. So the next time you turn it on, say for example, if you're not in a Wi-Fi zone or a 3G zone, you'll at least have those tweets there to read. You know, so you can, you know, if you know you're going to be in a non-Wi-Fi zone, you can cache all your tweets beforehand and then view them afterwards.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's. It doesn't sound like. I mean, certainly, if it's going to cost money, I can't see what it would do over.
I mean, it's got a nice interface and all that, but there's only so much you can do, isn't it? I mean, Tweety and Twitterific for me, I use them all the time, and I don't really want any more than that.
Yeah, and I think there's too much. I mean, it's good to have competition because the only way. I mean, Twitterific was a good app, and then Tweety came out and really bettered it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a competition. TweetDeck as well, we forgot to mention it. I mean, it does something different, does groups as well.
Yeah.
Keeping with iPhone, 3GS jailbreak. So Purple Rain got released, I think it was Friday.
Purple Rain.
That's fantastic. I'm just thinking at the end of the year we can have a compilation of all your songs.
It'll be gold. Gold.
Oh no.
Anyway.
So yeah, I've not had a chance to try it. I mean, I never jailbreaked the previous iPhone.
No, you were tempted though, weren't you? You were really tempted.
Oh, very tempted.
Point.
And there was an app that I saw this week that's making me actually very tempted again. It basically gives you a proper dock for your bottom four icons, and what you can do is you can click on an icon and out pops four other icons against each dock icon, so it means you can have up to 16 quick access applications.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and it looks really nicely implemented. And I think just for that alone I'm quite tempted. I'm reading reports today that it's not working for everybody, and you know, I use the phone too much to start faffing around with it.
Yeah.
But I think this time we'll see me jailbreaking. A couple other apps that caught my eye this week, and I'm going to sicken you because they're 3GS only ones.
Yes.
So do you know what I mean by augmented reality?
No, bore me. Go
on. Okay. Well, I can't really. Basically, it's when you hold up if you hold up your phone, and you can see a picture, and there'll be like I don't know. Pictures or icons displayed on top of a real world view.
Yeah.
So a couple of apps, one that I've bought, it's called Pocket Universe. And you can use it to say, show me where the moon is or a star is or planets, and it'll show you in the sky. But you can also say, show me. And using the compass, it will then tell you which way you need to turn, and you line it up to the sky, and it'll be able to then, you can identify the stars you're looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it working. It's one of these things. It's harder to describe. When you see it working, it's just lovely.
No, you've described it pretty well.
Ah, thanks.
No, it sounds like a really good idea, and it'd be interesting to see what other bits of software that people come up with. Because
there's another one that's still to be released called Nearest Tube, which is for London only. Basically, you hold it up, and depending whether it's horizontal or vertical, gives you different views of the nearest underground stations.
Just for clarity, then you hold up your phone and you can see the camera's view on screen.
Yeah.
And then you sort of.
And what they do is overlay on top where the tube stations are or what's nearest or furthest away.
I imagine in future, for example, say you're outside a cinema, you hold up your phone, and then they could probably tell you what films are playing on that.
Exactly.
You know,
So you know, or Google Street View, if I'm looking at that and I can press a button that says show me autotellers or show me fast food or show me, you know, and it's actually showing you on screen.
Or if you say, I want to go to like such and such a shop and you're in a street on the other side, it'll probably tell you, a bit like, you know, navigation software, but it'll
but
you probably have like an arrow on screen saying, go that way.
Yeah. Or even if I was meeting up with people.
Yeah.
You know, and I could hold it up and then it says they're here. You know, and Big Brother, watch out. But no, it's it really did look, it's Pocket Universe. I'll maybe try and do a video with my shaky hands. It just works really well, and it's a, and I think it was only, it was about one of these ones, it's only like a quid 50 or a quid 69.
Only so a not quid a lot 50. At all.
Yeah, well, it's not a lot.
No.
Very impressive, but very impressive.
Sounds good. Well, sticking with a bit of geekism, something caught my eye this week again. You know, like, Japanese people, they've got some really cool things in their culture. You know, they're like, you know, one of the few sort of people who've embraced the future and they love all things digital. Yet at the same time, they've got their, you know, traditional stuff as well.
Like Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee wasn't Japanese.
All right.
You have just offended my family in the Shaolin Temple. But anyway, you know, like, Japanese love their robots. Now, there's a park in Japan called the Wakamatsu Park. And they're going to get this big-ass giant robot called Tetsujin in October. And I'll tell you some, you know, the concept of this robot, it just looks phenomenal, you know. I'd love to have that in my back garden. So we'll, you know, just a bit of interesting geekism there for you.
Well, it just adds so much.
Yeah.
And I've seen pictures of a few recently, and I can just imagine, you know, if you had them in Glasgow, just, you know, you just dropped one in one day, just walking down, I don't know, South Hill Street, and there's this massive statue. And instead of being like, you know, one of the, you know, guys from years ago, it's an actual big, you know, robot.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, should definitely have a look at that. It looks really interesting.
We'll need to go to Japan.
I wish I could go to Japan.
But so do I. Need money.
And one last bit that caught my eye again. You know, like, I like my photography and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
There's a picture online. We'll add a link to that as well in the show notes, of an F-22 Raptor just as it's about to go supersonic, and there's somebody's taking a photograph of it. And I tell you, it just looks absolutely incredible. It reminds me of, like, Guile in Street Fighter about to do his sonic boom, and you know, you see that little arc. It's like, it's about like that, and it just, I'm amazed. I just can't believe how you'd photograph anything like that.
Out of all the things that I thought you were going to see, how it reminds you of, I didn't expect Street Fighter.
Sonic boom.
Oh, no. Yoga fire.
Yoga flame.
I knew that was coming.
Okay, enough of that. Moving on.
So, games. Nicely linked in.
Yeah.
I picked up Worms 2 this week. I know you're not a Worms player at all, but there's a few of us in Xbox Live absolutely loved the first Worms when it came out. Mm-hmm. And Worms 2 is just more of the same, but more weapons, better levels, more sound packs, more customization, and, well, certainly filled 2 or 3 nights this week.
Cool.
Absolutely fantastic. And it's only 800 MS points. I think that's, what's that about? £6, £8. I can never work that out.
Mm.
Oh, it's honestly absolute bargain.
I'm sure it
absolute is. Absolute bargain. And next week, there's Battlefield 1943. Now, So, Battlefield 1942 came out 7 years ago, and I loved it. There was Wake Island and a couple other levels that were just really unforgettable. So this week, there's another game, 1943, it's called, three levels, dead simple to play, they've made it all really simplified, focus on multiplayer. And I can't wait. And that's 1,200 MS points.
Good, good, good.
$10.
I'm sure that will keep you entertained.
Yes.
Games thing. Well, sticking to games, I've noticed we've got a bit of a battle going on in there. Who's got the biggest brain on the iPhone, haven't we?
Yes.
The balance of power has shifted again.
Oh, have you beaten me?
No, I haven't yet. No, I've not had the chance.
I have the biggest brain.
What's your score?
think it's 3,300 and something.
No, it's not. It's 3,260.
No, I've beaten up more than that now.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let me just check.
Okay, while you're checking. While you're checking that, another iPhone game that's come out this week. I don't know if you bought it already, Rolando 2.
No, I decided not to buy it.
I'm tempted, but it's $5.99, and I've bought so many games recently at quite a high price. I just think, oh, he's got that big grin on his face. What's your score?
Well, I'm just thinking you should be playing Who's Got the Biggest Brain, because it's 3313.
3313.
Yes.
It's doable. So yeah, Rolando 2 is out, and I'd like to get that, but I'll maybe wait and see if they put it on a special offer. Another iPhone game, I don't think you would have got it, because I only heard about it recently. It's called Xenonia, and it's an RPG, and people are saying, like IGN, for example, that it's basically playing Zelda, A Link to the Past from the SNES, on your iPhone, but with sort of cel-shaded graphics. And I think it's about $3.49 or $2.99.
So did you buy it?
No, I'm tempted, though. But there's a couple of games I want to buy. You know, one of them is that one you've got, Real Racing. I really want to get that, but I don't want to pay $5-6 for it. And then they say Rolando 2.
That's how I feel about Rolando 2, because I've never completed the first one.
No.
There's other ones I'm playing on it, and I think I'll just wait. I've got no need to buy it right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, so there you go. There's some games to, you know, keep an eye out for. That look quite promising. So that's that, I think, cool. As far as games are concerned.
So we've mentioned this for the last sort of 2-3 weeks, and that's Mobile Me, which I think a couple of people have been asking me why I call it the Apple tax and why so much hate. So Mobile Me, in case you don't know it, it's a yearly subscription service from Apple. And it's £60, or you can actually, well, we'll come to that later. It's £60 to buy, and what you get out of it is an email address, so you can be a whatever at me.com. But also you get calendar sync, contact syncing, bookmark syncing. So that's mostly across different Mac platforms.
Yep.
You also get 20 gigs worth of disk space.
Yep.
So that's via iDisk.
But I think you can increase that, can't you? You can sort of shift
storage. You can pay money and I think you can bump it up. I think it's 20 gigabytes at a time you can increase it by. You got a photo gallery. You can also sync applications. So there's quite a few Mac applications that you can install that automatically pick up on Mobile Me and sync across Macs.
I mean, the gallery thing, there's other services out there, but it's not too bad, is it? It's got a nice little Apple-esque sort of interface.
Yeah,
so
it's got the old reflected window kind of look and cover flow views. So it's there's also Back to My Mac and Find My iPhone. So it's quite a nice suite of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the only objection I've really had is just paying that much money for it. I just think it's either they could have better value, or I'm finding that there's better tools out there that I would use instead of each one.
I agree. I think some of the features in it are, maybe they would have been useful a few years ago, but now they just seem a bit redundant. Maybe the gallery thing is a nice idea, but maybe that's one of them, because it just seems a bit sluggish compared to some of the other services that are out there.
Well, if we take two or three of them in turn, so you've got the gallery, and it does work well. I've always found it a bit slow, which I don't know if it's a UK thing or not, but I've never had very good performance from it.
It's nice that it sort of the sort of link between that and iPhoto, I think that's quite good.
That is nice.
And I think for most sort of like non-power users, that'd be quite useful. It's quite easy to just upload an album and that's it.
And I guess it depends on your usage. I mean, I really like Flickr. I really like the social aspects of Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of my colleagues at work really likes Mobile Me because he can choose who he then sends a link out to. So he can put his gallery up and then he can send it around friends, and he knows that it's just these guys that are finding those photos. He doesn't care about anybody finding his photos of family or Glasgow, etc.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on what you want to use.
Does he know that you can make photos private on Flickr as well?
Yeah. I've explained that to him, but I don't know, and I've told him how, you know, Flickr you can have free Picasa you can have free, so there are free options out there. It's not just that Mobile Me is the only option, but I think it's ease of use. You know, you're in iPhoto, you can publish up there dead easy.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a no-brainer just to get your photos online. But for me, I've always used Flickr, so I've never really I've used the photo gallery a couple of times to test, and each time I've been fairly disappointed.
Mm.
The photos look nice, and it's a nice interface, but it just took too long.
I mean, I do like, and I think the people who I send links to, they like it because it looks kind of flashy. But I agree with you; it's to me, it feels kind of sluggish. Mm. I think they've improved it over the last year. I think it's a little bit more quicker, but you know, I don't know. I'm just not that impressed with it overall.
No. And one of the other aspects is IDIS, so you get 20 gig, which is quite a generous amount of space. And certainly when I've got two Macs, as of you,
mm-hmm.
and it's been handy to have a bit of shared disk space between both systems. But I find it really slow. And, you know, syncing changes was always, I don't know, just a bit torturous, and every so often the sync would, you know, it would get out of sync, really.
Yeah.
I'd have to drop the disk space and recreate it again.
I think going back to one of our picks from last week, Dropbox.
Oh, yeah.
It does so much better what iDisk is trying to do, isn't it? And you think Apple should be able to do whatever Dropbox are doing and make it better because it's their system. Everything should be, you know, integrated. But even just implementing iDisk on your machine, you have to have that. You have to enable this option, don't you, so it appears as a drive on your machine, like a separate drive. And I think there's no need. Dropbox integrates within your Finder window, and that's how iDisk should be working. It should just be there. You should be able to drag and drop stuff and not have to manually press a sync button. It should just do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dropbox for me is better performance, more relevant features. I even think the sharing, you know, and inviting other people to see the content is better than what's on offer in iDisk. I know, and Mobile Me has added some sharing options, so you can share that folder out. But I guess space-wise, I mean, it's a lot less. You're only getting 2 gig or whatever, but it is a better service.
If they can improve iDisk and make it as easy to use as Dropbox, because one of the, I think, key features about Dropbox is that non-Mac users, you can very easily share files with them. Whereas with iDisk, I've tried to share a file with myself so I can then access it from my work PC.
Right.
And it's just not easy enough. You know, you have to, like, jump through quite a few hoops. And then, like you said before, it's just so slow. It's just really, really slow to download a file from.
Yeah, I mean, the speed just gets right in my nipples, just how long it would take. Anyway, that's enough of my nipples. One of the things that did was really good, but was the application syncing. So, you know, Yojimbo, a couple of other apps would sync.
One Password.
Would sync through Mobile Me. What I've done over the last few weeks, I've actually moved all the apps that are sharing that way, and I've moved over to using Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been working superbly. So it's, again, it's just something I don't need Mobile Me for.
I think Mobile Me is missing one key feature, isn't it? iPhoto syncing. You know, at the moment, what I have to do is manually move, like, libraries across different Macs, and if that was built into Mobile Me, it'd be brilliant, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even I know it would take up a lot of room, and I guess that's going to be one of the issues, but even if they could have something where they said, like, you know, instead of 20 gig, you've got maybe 40.
Yeah.
And then how you want to chop up and use that disk space is up to you. You know, so if you want to share your library that way, then you can. But yeah, that would be nice. So yeah, I'm not using Mobile Me for application syncing anymore. And then the final kind of change that I've done is I've moved over to using Google Calendar as the one main calendar. And in iCal and on the iPhone, I'm using the Google CalDAV. Mm-hmm. And actually connect to the server, and it does the synchronization that way. So I've got iPhone syncing to Google Calendar, and I've got the two Macs syncing, and that's been working really well.
Yeah, I mean, I currently find iPhone syncing of my calendar quite tedious, because one thing that's always annoyed me, and I just can't believe they haven't implemented it by default, is birthdays. At the moment, you know, you get a separate birthdays calendar on your calendar app, but it appears as a subscribed calendar, so it's not like one of these, you know, part of your main calendar list. It just appears under subscriptions. So, like, if you sync your calendar to your iPhone via Mobile Me, you don't get that birthday's calendar popping up because it's not, you know, it's a subscribed calendar. But with the recent changes, I've noticed that you can, when you sync your iPhone, you can sort of override the default setting and you can say, sync my desktop calendars as well. So then what problem with that is then you can get two sets of the same calendar appearing under two different sections on your iPhone. So you'll have your Mobile Me calendars and that will have maybe your home calendar in it. But then you can have your iMac calendars, which will also have your home calendar in it as well. So it just, you know, it just gets really, really annoying, and I just wish they could simplify the whole lot. So, yeah. I mean, if I've got contacts on my phone, I want to know when their birthdays are, so, you know, I can be aware of it. And it's a key feature, and it's just not there by default. Very annoying.
Yeah, so just in case you forget, mine's November.
So?
Well...
Is it November? I always get mixed up between yours and Jenny's.
No, mine's is November.
12th Jenny's of November, 11th of December.
Jenny's is December.
Yep.
Anyway, I mean, there's a couple of things that there's no tools out there that'll replicate Mobile Me. So Find My iPhone, which is just a new addition, which I guess for some people, if you're constantly losing your phone, it's great to have. I just don't have that issue.
No. And how many times do you lose a phone? You lose it once and in your lifetime, twice maybe?
Yeah, it just seems to be. Maybe we're just not busy enough or we don't travel enough. There just seems to be people that constantly lose it or even round the house.
Maybe we're not thick enough to. Yeah, exactly.
Well, clean your house. You know, how dirty is it that you can't find your phone?
Check your ass crack. It might be up there.
You know, so it's like, as a feature, it is really nice. Mm. You know, it's like I've tried it, and you can send a message, it all works. You can turn an alarm on, it's all working. I'm not confident enough to try wiping it, but I'm sure that works as well. And I'm sure if you have it and you've lose your phone and you can't find it,
yeah,
and you think somebody's stolen it, to be able to remote wipe is superb.
Yeah.
But so there are a number of alternatives here. I think it's 80 days before I need to resubscribe.
I think kind of the same. Well,
so I have switched it off. So I've over the last week I've moved away to all the alternatives. I've switched off Mobile Me syncing, and I'm just going to live with that for the next month, because that's £60 I can save a year, and I don't think I'm going to miss anything.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, I think I need to do a bit of experimenting before I can confidently switch it off. Because I just don't want to, at the moment, my bookmarks, my contacts, my, in a certain way, calendar is synced on my iPhone and my MacBook. So, yes, I don't know.
But even bookmarks, you can use Xmarks. So I'm using Xmarks already because that's how I get my work content.
Yeah,
I've
had some issues with Xmarks, which is one of the reasons I stick with Safari for now. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know you've had issues, but for me it's been flawless. Mm. But I know as soon as you have an issue with something, it puts you off.
Flawless.
Flawless victory. One other thing when I was doing a little bit of research this week, it's £60 if you just, you know, resubscribe. Mm-hmm. But you can buy it from Amazon for
£45. Well, it's just
well, the way I'm looking at it is that, you know, I'm sitting here moaning, which I am doing, about how much it costs, and I object to paying it. And I think the reason I object to mostly is that I feel I'm getting little value out of it. It's not the actual spend, it's the how much am I using. But £45, that's the price of a game. And if I look at my game shelf and how many games I buy, I never play. So,
yeah, I think £45 maybe is a bit more palatable, isn't it?
Yeah,
I just find the iDesk thing is just, you know, it's almost like I'm wasting my money by not using it. And I hate that.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just that feeling like, it's there, why am I not using it? And it annoys me.
And well, I'm the same. I guess I'm of the view that I'm already paying for Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
And if I started using Dropbox with that much content, I would rather pay them, you know, $100 a year. I doubt I'll need it.
Yeah.
But,
see, I think Dropbox is really nice, but I think their sort of subscription price is a bit too high.
If there was maybe an in-between.
Yeah.
No, because I think it was 50 gig for $100. Maybe if they said, like, you know, 20 gig for $20. Mm. There was another option in there, another tier.
Yeah, I mean, I personally wouldn't want to pay more than $6 or $7 a month. And even if that gives me like 10 gig, you know, I think I'd be all right with it. But I don't want to pay like $20 or anything like that. It's on $10 even.
No, definitely. So we'll, I'll be running that for the next, I guess, 2-3 weeks, mm-hmm. and we'll report back. And what maybe do is a little series on the website that just each of the different alternatives for each of the mobile me options,
yeah.
and just how to set them up. All quite straightforward. But and I guess that's the thing that's nice about mobile me. You pay your money, and this almost just happens in the background.
Yeah.
And there's very little set up. And it's just subscribe and go.
Yeah. I think, you know, if they'd reduce the service a little bit, the price, and the iDisk, if they made it a bit more seamless, you know, more like Dropbox, I would continue paying, you know, like 50 quid, maybe 45, well, buy it from Amazon for 45 quid, I would continue.
No, absolutely.
But at the moment, it just, it's almost like they've forgotten all about some of the, you know, the features and other services are out there competing with them.
Yeah, well, even the, each of the, like, mail and calendar and contacts you can see online from the Mobile Me site.
Which is quite a nice interface now, you know, since they did that overhaul.
Do you use it?
Sometimes, because, you know, like I've told you at work, I have issues with my Wi-Fi on the iPhone.
Right.
So I can receive emails, but I can't seem to send emails out. So sometimes I log into my web account.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
So I never use it. Mm. So again, I think it's just it's working out what makes sense. You know, there's so many things about it I don't use.
Yeah. I think if you had like one Mac and then you wanted to access your emails from work, then yeah, it could be useful if you had two Macs. But I think with us being in a situation with iPhones, I think that's why we don't really need it so much.
No, absolutely. Cool. So, on to some picks.
Yep.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. You know, being a bit of a geek, as you know, sometimes I like to sort of customise my computers. So in the past, like when I used to use Windows, I used to love playing about with like different widgets and things like that, trying to tart things up, using different themes. But on the Mac, I haven't really, you know, given it that much attention, purely because I think I like the way Mac looks already, you know, OS X, not X, as we've been told a couple of times. So I've not really paid much attention to it until I saw this article on lifehacker.com, and they were talking about this utility called Geek Tool. It's a system preferences module. So it's a small little app that you download and it sits in your system preferences. And what it allows you to do is display system logs and Unix command outputs and even images onto your desktop. So it almost appears like it's part of your desktop and not like a separate app. So, I mean, if you're really creative, you can, you know, like, make some really, really nice-looking desktops. So I looked at this Lifehacker article, and then they sort of pointed you in the direction of Flickr. And there's one of the members here that has a really nice sort of wallpaper that he's designed. And he's used Geek Tool to get this really nice-looking desktop. So I've tried that, and it works pretty well. It's quite easy to use. I think you just need to spend a bit of time getting familiar with the actual module itself. Because the idea is you create like elements and then you sort of lay them out anywhere you want on your desktop. So by elements, I mean you can create like one element to display hours. So using the a Unix command, you can just display the hours and then you can format the text and the color and the size. So the way I've got it, which I'll upload a screenshot to on a website, I've got like the hours in one color and the minutes on the other in a different color. And the reason for that is I've got a contrasting desktop. So, you know, then each of the hours and minutes are displayed on different part of the wallpaper. And
that
looks really,
really,
really nice. I'm still playing with it because I want to display like a nice little weather output. At the moment, I've just got a basic one saying cloudy and the temperature. But I like to add a bit more. To do that, I need to look at more Unix command outputs and... I think some people have uploaded scripts that you can download, which you can add into the Geek Tool interface as well. So, yeah, so that's what I've been using. And
I guess it's free?
It's free, yeah. We'll add a link to that in our show notes. I had a look at to see if you can get that on a Windows machine as well, and you can't, it's Mac only. But the closest alternative I found for Windows was something called Rain Meter.
So I used to use that.
Did you?
There's
another one called Samurai's as well that popped
up. Yeah, and Samurai's, I think Samurai's sounds probably closest to Geek Tool.
Right.
So Samurai's used to have a, it was a text file, mm-hmm. and you would edit the text file to control the layout, so you could position where you want each little module, you could get plugins and...
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was nice, but it's just, it's so time-consuming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to spend too much time or have it jump through hoops, so that's where I thought this was quite nice. And, you never know, maybe in a few months' time I'll just get bored of it and I'll switch back to a standard desktop.
Yeah, is there any performance hits? No.
None that I've noticed, no.
No, that's really good. No. So I think Samurai sometimes with plugins, you'd start to notice.
I think that's the thing, because you're actually just displaying Unix command outputs. And you
it's not a lot.
Yeah, you can set a response time as well. Like I'm displaying, for example, at the moment, I've got the hours and the minutes, and I've got CPU usage and RAM usage, and you can sort of have that updating every second. But if you don't want that, you can have it every 10 seconds. It's entirely up to you.
Oh, I'll check that out actually, because it's something I've kind of, I'm a bit like you. I used to customize loads,
yeah,
and for some reason I'm just kind of happy with it. I've got a desktop, as long as my desktop picture looks decent,
yeah,
I'm kind of happy. Excellent. Well, my pick this week is an app that I've only used for a day, so maybe a bit premature. Now, we have talked before about trying to have a. Almost like a photo blog.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had a bit of software that you actually installed or you were going to install on your server. I can't remember what it's called now.
It's another bit of software like WordPress called PixelPost. Is that what you're referring to?
That was it, PixelPost, yep. Yeah. So I guess this is kind of similar. So we'll put the link up in the show notes. So it's called Flogger, F-O-L-O-G-R. And you install that on your server. You point it to your Flickr name, and then you can say pull it from a Flickr group only or based on a certain tag,
mm-hmm.
and it just displays posts or pictures from Flickr, and that's it. You can theme it and skin it, but for me it's been a lot, that's more closer to what I've wanted to host than the other ones that I've seen. All my pictures are on Flickr, but every so often I just want to bring attention to maybe one that I, whether it's good or not, if I like it, I want to maybe highlight that.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm putting in a tag, so I think I'm putting in an ID blog. So if I just tag certain photos,
mm-hmm.
and...
you can display the album on...
Well, the Flogger will pick that up, and you can see all the comments and any of the information that you can get in Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also see all your tags, you can see all your sets as well, in two different tabs, and it's all fully skinnable.
I'm assuming you can see all... the camera information as well, like your aperture.
Yeah. So that's all there.
Sounds
so
good.
It was dead easy to upload,
mm-hmm.
Dead easy to install. It was just one file to change. And you can, if you're worried about performance, because you're actually downloading the full picture each time from Flickr, which can take a while.
Does it download the full resolution photo, or does it go for like medium size?
I think. Or can I don't know if that's an option.
All right, okay.
I need to check that out. One option that I know is there is you can actually point it to a MySQL database locally.
So you can
cache your pictures. So if you think your own server is better, performance-wise, then you can do that. But I was very impressed. And what I'll do in the show notes, I'll link to the MyFlogger installation so you can just see how it works.
Well, at the moment, I'm playing with the PixelPost themes, and I haven't found anything I like, so I might give this a try, see if it's, maybe I'll start using that. Because, of course, that will save you the hassle of like managing photos in two different locations.
Yeah, and that was always my issue. Mm. My photos are on Flickr, and I don't want to have them somewhere else and always link it. I mean, it does it all automatically.
Yeah.
Just tag the photos you want in Flickr, and they'll appear on your site.
Mm, sounds good.
Yeah, it's ideal.
Mm.
And that's us. Episode 5 done.
Already? Blimey.
Time flies when you're...
Can I just mention something? I think our last podcast might have been a bit controversial.
Was it?
I think so. I think I remember seeing a tweet up saying maybe it was a bit too sweary.
Right.
So we apologise if you found any of our words offensive. We'll put this out after the 9 o'clock watershed next time.
No, that was Brian. He's just getting a bit old, I think.
Yeah.
And if you saw some of his tweets this week, a traffic jam sent him over the edge.
So yeah, we'll
swear words on his tweets.
Keep the sweary words under control. But no promises.
Yes. Definitely no promises. No. I'm sure something will send us over the edge at some point.
Yes.
So, if you want to get in touch, you can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter, Digital Outbox, and our website is www.digitaloutbox.com. Where can we find more about you, Shaquille?
I've got a blog, shaquille9.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Shaqen, and Facebook, facebook.com/...
Shaquille9.
But Sean Connery there. And if you want to see any of my photos, you can find them on Flickr. My username is Shaka_.
Yes.
Yes. What about you?
I have a blog. It's END.net. And on Twitter, I am Shweepa.
Very good.
And there's other stuff on the blog, links out to everything else as well. So you can find out more there. So yeah, thanks for listening. Please give us any feedback you like, anything you think we're doing wrong, anything you'd like us to cover in the future. And thanks again.
Yep, thank you. Catch you later.
Bye now.
Bye.